I'm Annie Bubinski from Microsoft, and we're here at CodeMash. I'm here with Parag. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. Hi. So my name is Parag. I'm working with Centric Consulting more as a mobile architect. So I was in the .NET space for a while, and I still do .NET with Xamarin.
Cool.
And I've been into wearables for a while, so that's my latest passion.
Awesome. And you're going to do a session on wearables, right?
That's right. Rise of the wearables.
Cool. So tell us a little about it.
Okay. So as everybody knows, wearables is a very up-and-coming area. There's a lot of buzz about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, when you walk into a store, you don't know what you want, right? You don't know what to get. So the goal of the session is to throw a little bit of light on that and see, you know, what options are there.
Yeah, there's a ton of different products. I know we have the Microsoft Band. There's also the Apple Watch
is really popular.
Pebble's a big one.
Which
ones will you be covering in your session?
I'll be covering the Band, the Apple Watch, the Samsung for the Samsung family, the Pebble to some extent, Fitbit. Nobody can forget Fitbit.
Oh, yeah. And, I got one of those on right now, actually.
And give an idea of the rest of them. So there's a whole lot more.
Cool, awesome. So so let's talk a little bit about like what wearables do and the technology behind them.
So initially, I guess, when Fitbit became popular, it was mainly a fitness band, right? So
right.
You said, oh, it's a fitness band, I'm going to get fit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you started down this trend of introducing more and more sensors and more gadgets.
Yeah.
And so right now, I don't think we quite know what all needs to go into a wearable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're kind of, this is like the experimental phase, right?
Yeah.
It reminds me of the old smartphone stage where we started with the compact iPack. You know, I still have that.
What's the iPack?
Oh, so compact iPack is the very first music player. It was a Microsoft. It ran on Windows CE.
Gotcha.
And it runs still well. So
cool.
So we don't know yet where everything is going, but it's getting there slowly.
Mm-hmm.
To some people, wearables mean fitness devices.
Mm-hmm.
To others, they are more all-in-ones, and I think we've kind of landed somewhere in between.
Or somewhere kind of like a device that talks to your cell phone even, like an in-between kind of thing?
Yeah, like a smart, so Pebble would be a smartphone companion. I don't think we can call anything more than that right now, because it doesn't really have many sensors. So,
gotcha. So what type of sensors do most wearables have?
So all of them have, usually have at least the accelerometer. A lot of the wearables, like Pebble, has got a little bit of a port on the side of the watch that you can print your own bands. You know, we've got 3D printer sessions going on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So you can print your own band with an additional battery pack if you want. You can a glucose monitor in there.
Cool. Okay.
But at least I think right now basic sensors are all tied to fitness. So accelerometer, barometer, you know.
Heart rate.
Heart rate is not as common as you think.
Really?
Yeah. So it's interesting. You walk into Best Buy and not all watches have a heart rate monitor.
Why do you think that is?
I think because they don't know what consumers want, and consumers don't know what they want, honestly. You know?
I see. So there's a little bit of confusion about like what you want from the product and what they're going to make.
Yes.
What do you see about like the future for wearables? Where do you think it's going?
I think it's definitely going towards replacing or at least doing 90% of the functions of a smartphone.
Right.
I mean, you know, we saw all these Star Wars and all these futuristic movies, you see the screen pop out of thin air and showing some. It doesn't replace a smartphone device, right?
Right.
But it's enough to give you point of time information, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where we're kind of headed.
And really readily available, right?
Yes.
That's kind of the grabbing aspect of
right.
it.
An independent device, not tied to a smartphone, is where I see it going.
Cool. So do you ever hack on your wearables? Have you done any coding with your wearables?
Uh-huh. So I had the Pebble Watch, and I wrote some code on it. And that's one of the aspects, like if you're a developer, you quickly realize that every platform is different.
Yeah.
The Pebble Watch, you write in C, and then you realize, oh my goodness, I forgot all about memory management, and it comes right back to you, you know.
Gotcha.
So I think I wrote an app on the Pebble Watch in C, and it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think Microsoft Band, there's a lot of apps that are coming up, and that the platform is opening up.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, initially it was closed, right? The first launch was closed. But now it's opening up, so that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And in Android world, it's a bit confusing because you have the Samsung, which is the Tizen operating system.
Right.
And then all the rest of the Android devices, which are quite good. Some of them are quite good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all Android Wear, right?
And then, of course, you have the Apple Watch, so which has the iOS. So Xamarin seems to kind of trying to be playing a little bit of a balancing role there.
Okay.
They're not quite.
So is it similar to hacking on like a cell phone, on a smartphone, or is
yeah.
it more difficult?
It's it depends on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
So Pebble was quite difficult, I would say. The Android Wear is quite simple. Apple Watch is quite simple. I think I'm sure the band is going to be the same way. And so I think the ecosystem, the whose product it is makes a big difference, because a lot of the tooling reflects
right.
that.
So. And you mentioned memory earlier. Is that a problem because it's such a small device?
It is. It's a huge problem because if, especially with when you go and buy a device that you don't have any idea about, because
right.
it may have hardly any memory.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I was trying to run Skype on my T-Mobile Wing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember it.
No, what's that?
T-Mobile Wing was a Windows smartphone.
Oh, okay.
And it only had 32 megs of RAM, and you couldn't run Skype on it.
Oh,
so, you know, so it's definitely a problem.
Right. And do they even advertise that when you buy a wearable? You know, I haven't really bought that many of them, you know.
On the
past,
Android
so.
Wear, they do.
Okay.
And
they tell you
do.
How much they have
they
so
do.
That you know if yeah. you want to add anything onto it and store
I don't
data.
Think you can add anything onto it. I mean, they're pretty closed systems, you know, because they make
okay.
them watertight. They make them, they can't let you
right.
put it.
Right, can't pull it apart.
That's
and.
Right.
And you know, work with everything? Okay,
right.
gotcha. So what kind of hacks have you made for wearables before?
So I've been, for wearables, so mostly it's been on the Apple Watch side. I've done a few on the Pebble.
Mm-hmm.
The Pebble, though, seems to be fading away. My next one is the Band 2 that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
But the apps ecosystem, I'm trying to figure that out.
Gotcha.
But I really want to go down the HoloLens side.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's also a wearable.
Yeah,
right? People
absolutely.
Think of wearables as a watch, but I mean, you put it on your face. It's
absolutely,
available.
Yeah, definitely. Wear it on your head.
That's right.
Cool. Okay. Well, can you show us some of the hacks you've done or some code that you have?
Yeah, sure. So, being a developer, and you always attend conferences, right?
Right.
So the first thing I did is I wrote a conference app for. So this was actually written for Star Trek, and I think CodeMesh. I had a Pebble. It's in the App Store. I have a Pebble app for that. So it's a very simple app, you know.
Mm-hmm. Can we zoom in real quick too so
sure.
the audience can see okay?
Sure.
So is this kind of like the user experience that you would get from using it?
Yeah, so here we go. So this is, you know, like this is on your phone, right?
Okay.
Any phone, you take a Windows phone, you take an Android phone, they're pretty good
mm-hmm.
Real estate. They're getting bigger and bigger, right?
Yeah.
But they're not getting smaller. Hence the need for wearables, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on the device, so this is, you know, this is like the session display, and it shows you the app.
Okay, I see. So this is on the left is what you would see on your iPhone,
phone.
And then on the right is what you see on your Apple Watch.
Correct.
Okay.
And you know, you can see it shows you session information.
But and this is all for CodeMesh.
This was written for Star Trek.
Star Trek.
So the problem is what that I've seen that. These are tiny devices. I mean,
yeah.
the band, you know, you take it, they're meant to give point of time information, right?
Right.
But some developers try to cram in a lot of stuff
mm-hmm.
on their band, and then it's not usable because you're not going to scroll on the band, right?
Yeah, not a ton.
I mean, try using Cortana or Siri and say that, you
mm-hmm.
know, scroll. I don't think you're going to do that, right?
Right.
So this is a typical conference app.
Uh-huh.
The other apps that I tend to use more are around home automation. So I have an alarm system, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's monitored. They have an app. They have an app, so
okay.
I can disarm from the phone, on from the phone,
whoa,
right?
Okay.
Then there's.
Is it a simple button? How does it work? Is it a good interface?
I can show you. So, uh-huh. I guess it's the same app on every platform,
mm-hmm.
right? So when you launch this, it's telling me it's right now armed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you hit to disarm, and this is a part that I'm not quite fond of, it makes you punch in your key code.
Oh, I see.
Right? Now, on this tiny device, on any device, you know, you haven't seen this display more than that big, right?
Right.
Punching in a key code is hard. So I
right.
think that's where I think we're lacking. We use a fingerprint
yeah.
or something like that.
Do you see like any solutions for that in the future?
Fingerprint.
Like, you know, fixing something like a big, you know, you need a bigger screen for some things.
Right, right. I mean,
it's limiting.
I think that's where, the pop-up displays, although I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
is where it's going to go. Now, there's a device called the Circret, and I have it here. I can actually show you. We can. So, see this device in the middle?
Yeah.
That says Fruit Ninja.
Right.
It's actually very similar to the Microsoft Band, right?
Uh-huh.
Except it projects on your screen.
Okay.
And now you can tap, you can zoom, you can pinch.
Wow.
Now they're kind of into getting the first release out and Kickstarter and all that stuff.
What's the technology behind that? Like that looks so futuristic to me. It's crazy. You know, I see a projector and I think of like the old projectors that we've had, you know, since elementary school.
Yeah.
And how does that work with like touching it, right?
Yeah, I think it's lighter. It's interrupting the light. So
that's how it gets the feedback.
Yeah. So like for example, projection. If you project on any wall, even on this wall, if you project, it will look good. It may look a little blurry, but it'll look good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it uses the fact that you can see some of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's interrupting light. So wherever you tap, it's sensing the presence.
So there's some other sensors that are involved too. They have
that's
the projector, and then they take other sensors that are like getting feedback from interruption.
Right. Okay. I mean, there were a lot of devices announced that were controlled based on your wrist. So you wear it on your wrist based on how you move your hand and the veins and all that stuff. It sends different pulses. It's all futuristic, right? It has to work.
Yeah,
right?
No, that's crazy. Have you ever tried one of these?
They're not yet available. They went through a lot of to get to, but the Kickstarter is coming up, so I think it's going to be in the market soon.
Wow. Okay. And this is what is this called again?
Circret. CIRCRET.
Circret. Okay.
There's also another one. I think this is designed for Facebook users.
Oh, okay.
It's a flying camera.
What? So like a drone?
Almost like a drone. I can show you that too.
Well, is that a wearable?
Yeah. So it's called Nixie.
Okay.
And they won an award at Intel Design Awards.
The first wearable camera that can fly.
That's right. So that one, you put it on your wrist like a watch.
Uh-huh.
And when you want to take a picture, you take it off. It's got motors, as you can see.
Right.
You throw it up.
Oh my goodness, that is crazy. So it does attach and then you unattach it and it looks like they're holding it upside down.
That's right.
And then it launches off of your arm.
And there's a camera on the side that rotates and
takes
a picture.
Okay, so what is the purpose of this? Like, is that just so you don't have to pull out your like iPhone or your your device from your pocket and instead you have it on your wrist and then you're just like, okay, now I want a picture, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, so like for example, I think even with the band and the wearables these days, they say, put your phone somewhere there, right? And take control the picture with your, right. So it's serving that purpose, saying that, you know, you want to be in the picture.
Right.
You want to be taking the pictures all the time, so throw it up, take a picture.
That is really cool. I've never seen anything like that before. That's awesome.
And then this on the left, I'll move that out of the way, is you wouldn't think this is a wearable, but this is a solar charging jacket that's available today.
Whoa. Okay, see, I could see that. That seems pretty realistic. You know, I've definitely seen a lot of things where you can use solar power to charge your devices and stuff like that. I've seen backpacks.
They're right.
Never a jacket.
I know.
That's pretty
neat,
available. Though. Wow. Okay, cool.
And of course, my, you know, the HoloLens, which...
Yes.
I hope I can get my hands on one, but you know that. So.
What would be your favorite thing? What would
with
be your favorite hack for a HoloLens?
Medical, huge. So my parents were both are both doctors, and I went down the computer route, so they were kind of disappointed.
Uh-huh.
So that would be my way to kind of bridge the gap and appease them, you know.
Totally, but there's tons of technology in medicine. Yeah.
I think it's a pretty nice device because it's the only device that I know that lets you walk around.
Right. And experience it, in 3D.
In 3D.
Right.
And that puts a whole lot, you know, they say seeing is believing.
Right.
Right? You know.
I know. The first time I saw a demo of that, it was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
It's literally straight from a sci-fi movie. It's crazy.
It is.
And for gaming too, you can do
lots of gaming
on
fun.
That.
Mm-hmm. And then these, you know, I couldn't resist putting also. But this was a series on sci-fi. I don't know if you watch sci-fi a lot, but...
No, I haven't seen that one.
So they have a suit that you can wear that mask gives you a lot of functions, makes you invisible.
Whoa.
So, you know.
So that's just more of a stretch. Like, we're not sure if we're going to get there, but that would be pretty cool.
It is available, right? It is available.
It's available?
No, I mean, not available. As in,
right.
It's available. You can wear
it. Oh,
wearable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. So, definitely. So, that would be pretty crazy. So, what is this bear one? Can you tell me about that?
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
That's just like the also series where he's like a James Bond kind of spy and he communicates using the watch. So he gets instructions on the watch. I just couldn't risk throwing it in.
That's awesome.
You know, everybody knows Dick Tracy, and you know, that's the pebble. But the point is, there's so many out there that what do people want? You know, what is available, right?
So many options. You can do charging, you know, in terms of the jacket, or you can do 3D in you know, in terms of the HoloLens, or maybe you just want a fitness band. So.
That's right. And I think that's what people need to decide. What do I want it to do? And then go buy one, you know?
Awesome. Cool.
I mean, this, you wouldn't think of this as a wearable, but it's a 3D printed replacement bionic hand.
Oh, I've seen those too for people who don't have a hand.
And
right.
It's cheap to print, and rather than depending on high insurance premiums and all that stuff, you got it, right?
Awesome.
So I think it's in a transition.
Yeah. That's really interesting. All right, well, thank you so much for telling me about, you know, wearables and where they're going in the future.
Yeah.
It's great for having you.
Yep, thanks.